It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this 17th day of June 2021. We are well past the halfway mark of June now, even if it is a 31-day month in the Q calendar. Hi, I'm Robin, and it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and we will get to the thorns in fairly short order, no doubt about it. But first, of course, well, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different, and also the evening's reminder that if you'd like to augment your Horn experience, well, then jump on over to headon.live, jump into the chat room, just click on chat room and pick out a screen name and a password, and you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Roger in Oregon, Squeaky and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who... although he is a third stage guild navigator, has elected not to fold space today. It must be a little bit like the interior of the sun, perhaps, there in the man cave. It's 76 degrees on a beautiful... Yesterday was the most beautiful day of 2021, but it has only been exceeded by today. Even more beautiful than yesterday, especially here in the brand new New River Gorge National Park. My goodness gracious, just a perfect day. Not blazing hot. You know, the air conditioner's doing what it can do back there behind me, and it's not too terrible here in the studio. 76 degrees. Perfect temperatures for, yes, wait for it, naked radio. Yes. I've been waiting for some naked radio. I really, really have, and it's just delightful. And thanks go out to our 17th day of the month subscribers. Thank you very kindly to Gary Laborman out in New Mexico. Thank you so very kindly. And that's our only 17th day of the month subscriber. But thanks as well to Cecilia, and thanks to David for jumping in. That means that our fundraising goal fell to $510. We are $210 away from being fully funded for yesterday, and we've got $300 for today, and we will move onward in great hope from there. As noted, it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, with a couple of significant rulings out of the Supreme Court, yeah, the thorns are deep in the side, no doubt about it. The real yow, and so we will get into that in fairly short order. A little bit of an update on the rapidly diminishing hopes for Joe Manchin's bipartisanship. Oh, such a little optimist he is. But let's get things started in regular order. Joe Manchin's so fond of regular order, of course. Hi, Joe. You can do better, buddy. O.J. and Rodney. Joey writes, if you're like me, you remember where you were on this day back on June 17th, 1994. I know exactly where I was when Al Cowlings was driving O.J. Simpson around in a low-speed chase on the highways of Los Angeles. It was this day now, 27 years later. Millions of people watched that fiasco on a June Friday night, which actually preempted the NBA Finals. Lee in New York is probably still mad that his Knicks were taken off the air for the O.J. Bronco chase. Please do share, Robin, your thoughts of that evening and also the trial, which seemed to go on and on and on. Well, we were newly into our broken down, beaten up, 100-year-old farmhouse. I can't remember if this is before or after I called the insulating company, the blown-in insulation, and they drilled the holes in the side of the house, and Agnes with a brand-new baby on the ground. Well, Margie would have been not quite a year and a half old. Hollered, make them stop, it's snowing in the living room, because the walls themselves were wooden planks. Not like logs or anything, but it was wooden plank walls, wooden plank ceilings, and the blown-in cellulose, you know, ground-up newspaper insulation, was blowing through the cracks and flying around the living room. Yeah, but the TV was on to the low-speed chase. Yeah, Jeffrey has some judgmental thoughts about the trial. That damn trial was longer than my neck and became a real pain in the neck to have to watch every day. I mean, they thought the Bronco chase was slow speed. Hell, that trial had no speed. That was the longest slow speed trial I'd ever seen, and so much for a speedy right to trial and justice. Well, good points, Jeffrey. It got turned into a... I mean, Jesus, do you remember... what was it? Had Jay Leno taken over this night? And they had the dancing Itos, Judge Itos. Is Judge Ito even still among the quick? It all goes by so fast.
I remember CNN carried a lot of trial analysis, and Jeffrey Toobin gave us some great legal coverage and dictum on the matter at hand. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, dictum at hand. Yeah. That's right up there with rectum, damn near killed him. Mm-hmm. Yep. Also, with regards to the outcome of the trial, oh, you shameful giraffe. By the way, Toobin is back on the air and hopefully will not get caught with his pants down this time. And somebody else that came to fame was and CNN had her on as well, that she went on over to Fox, and she was out of the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia. Oh, what's her name? I can't remember. She's a Scientologist, I think, too. And that launched a lot of careers. Judge Ito is still with us, Brother Deacon Asa tells me. Thank you. Brother Deacon Asa serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, all of 70 years old. Wow, so he was just a 43-year-old, sir. Poor guy. Must have hated being thrust into the limelight like that. What was her name? She's just awful, and then she got a bad facelift and went on to Fox. I can't remember. But a lot of careers got made by that trial. Many claim that the not guilty verdict for O.J. was payback for the Rodney King trial, in which four white cops were not convicted in the savage beating of Rodney King, and I happen to believe that had a lot to do with the result of the trial. Interestingly enough, on this very same day, the 17th of June, 2012, 18 years later, Rodney King was found drowned in the bottom of a pool with no foul play involved. Well, says Joey, I'm off to the Cleveland-Baltimore baseball game, so this will be short, but I'm glad to see the Supreme Court upheld Obamacare with a 7-2 margin. Hopefully, if the High Court hears the cases of all these voter suppression laws, the court will uphold the right of the people to vote, and all of these disgusting voter suppression laws will be struck down. Well, that's one of those that's one of those situations where you hope in one hand, Joey. I was thrilled with the 7-2 verdict. Maybe there's hope. Well, that was Obamacare. But this has been Joey's Journal for Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 17th day of June, 2021, with Giraffrey hoping the High Court will continue to make good rulings as they did today and not be a thorn in the side to proper justice. There's a $10 higher standards for the higher court challenge, and that would get us down below $500, and it'd get us down to $490, and that would be fantastic. It's
badly needed. Thank you. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffe. And no, they were not all good decisions today. Not by a long shot. And even the Obamacare decision was less than it could have been. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Cecilia. We talked about the leaked phone call with Joe Manchin during yesterday's program. What an interesting little piece of revelation he offered when he was chatting up his billionaire pals. Yeah. No, it wasn't Marcia Clark. No, she was a legal analyst on CNN, Jeremy, and I get. She went on to be famous on Fox. No, damn it. Thank you. Thank you. Jeremy met Joey and Giraffe's challenge. We're now down to $490. That's wonderful. As to Judge Ito, Billable Rick says, a couple of good friends of mine who lived in Pasadena were in a gourmet cooking club with Judge Ito. They told me he was a nice and down-to-earth person. I have no doubt that he was. He, unfortunately, was thrust into the unenviable job of ringmaster to a circus. And Just Wondering asks Lamar the Magnificent, on the grounds of killing someone's meal, you claim it's naked radio. Do you mean butt naked radio? Well, I mean, it's naked. It is naked as in the state of being unclothed. And that's why this program's not on video. Okay? Yeah. What's that? Steve in New York says, there's something in your transitioning has not changed. You're still a little ray of fucking sunshine. Well, there's some things that transition doesn't touch. And that's, you know, the realities of this aching nation. Jeremy, I was hoping. Yeah, I know. You sent an extra 2 cents just for the to make the ciphering fun. So, yeah, actually, we're down to $489.98 because you'd like to hear me suffer and screw up the math. I saw that. I'm just trying to get away with something, I guess. I had no idea. Stockton Larry in the chat room pointing out, today's fun fact, Judge Ito's wife was a high-ranking LAPD officer and was the model for either Cagney or Lacey. Thank you, Ralphs, also serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department today. There it is, 11 people the O.J. Simpson trial made famous. Yeah. Nancy Grace, oh dear God. That's not her. That's not the one I was thinking about. But yeah, how can you forget a name like Greta Van Susteren? She was elevated as a legal analyst on CNN, and there were more than a few little mistakes as a result of that horrible trial. But we will move on for that. But so thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. It was the Dancing Itos on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. I kind of quit watching when Carson left and Letterman didn't get the job. Leno never struck me as being that funny. Billable Rick, please. Robin, stop telling us how bad at math you are. Shall I pledge $6.66 to challenge your skills? Well, if you do, I'll sort it out, and I won't use the calculator and cheat, and that probably means that I'll get it wrong. Oh yeah, and Janine Pirro. That's 27 years of drinking wine out of a box. Thank you, Ralphs. Oh my God. Yeah. So I mentioned that there was a little bit of a follow-up to Joe Manchin's unicorn hunt for those bipartisan Republicans. Today, Moscow Mitch McConnell Chinless Mitch. You know, turtles are not known for their chins. Get this. I mean, this is just... it's peak McConnell. Today, Moscow Mitch said that he doesn't support the revisions to S-1 that Stacey Abrams has backed. He's offered up some changes to S-1, the For the People Act, with Chinless Mitch, that little stooge of Vlad Putin, saying that S-1 still retains, the changes still retain S-1's rotten core. In reality, the plan endorsed by Stacey Abrams is no compromise. It's an assault on the idea that states rather than the federal government should run their own elections. And then he said, and I have no doubt that this is probably something approaching truth because he wields his power over his caucus with a razor blade tipped lash. He says all Republicans will oppose his proposal. So even if he got, it turns out that apparently Reverend Barber was correct on Monday. Even if Joe Manchin were to find 9 Republicans and there wasn't a 10th, he still would not break the filibuster in order to see justice done so that people can actually vote in this country. He says he'd support expanded early voting, Manchin would. A ban on partisan gerrymandering. That's big! So this puts the ball back in Joe Manchin's court, and I guess Mitch, who plays the long game, thinks that Joe will fold like a cheap suit, fold like a house of cards, and not support filibuster reform. Because you'll recall in that leaked recording, and one thing I thought about, let's just go back to that for a second. There was no talk about who leaked it, of course. Ryan Grimm and Lee Fong writing for The Intercept. They didn't out their source. But, and just work with me for a second here, unless you've seen otherwise, and let me know if you have. What if the leaker was Manchin himself? What if Joe wanted that information out there without breaching the so-called confidence of the conversation? Or what if it was the people at No Labels, Nancy and Margaret, as he referred to them? Does it matter? Would there be some significance if that were the case? Are we just being noodled? You know, having the little fish on the hook dangled in front of us, hoping that we'll somehow give up the game? But probably the larger the issue tucked away in all of this is that Stacey Abrams is supporting his compromise position. She went on CNN, Stacey Abrams did, and they asked her, would she support his compromise even if part of it was voter identification? And Stacey Abrams didn't miss a beat. She said, absolutely, this is a first and important step to preserving our democracy. She said that the proposal that Manchin has put forward are, quote, strong ones that will create a level playing field and ensure that every American has improved access to the right to vote. And she went on to say that his voter identification requirement makes sense and says, I support voter identification, but rejects restrictive voter identification designed to keep people out of the process. Now, question. You tell me. Does this indicate that Stacey Abrams is severely lacking in ideological purity? And I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but I've been at this long enough to know that the sparkle fart powered propelled unicorn cavalry purity patrol. Ferg's mowing right now. But Arnon Mishkin over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda said if Stacey Abrams supports this voting rights compromise, Democrats will fall into line. And over at CNN, they described it as a breakthrough. Let's check in on the actual audio with John Harwood and Stacey Abrams and hear it from her herself, shall we?
Is that a compromise you could support?
Absolutely. What Senator Manchin is putting forward are some basic building blocks that we need to ensure that democracy is accessible no matter your geography. And those provisions that he is setting forth are strong ones that will create a level playing field, will create standards that do not vary from state to state, and I think will ensure that every American has improved access to the right to vote despite the onslaught of state legislation seeking to restrict access to the right to vote.
Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Lee in New York, bipartisan Republicans. Joe Manchin should stop looking for bipartisan Republicans. Republicans will deny ever being bi.
Well, we here on the Republican Party, we ain't members of no LGBT. We ain't no lesbians, gays, bipartisans, or transmissions. It's just not how the Senate works.
Oh, God, my Mitch McConnell's getting better. That worries me. Ew. Regarding 27 years of Jeanine Pirro drinking wine out of a box, Brother Deacon Asa says, at least Jeanine Pirro doesn't eat her lunch out of a box. Hello, murder hornet in hell. Yes. I think at this point, Brother Deacon Asa, you've got an entire swarm of them. You don't want to know where they're going to build their nest. But that's interesting. And it's almost hopeful. It's kind of hard to hear what you're telling us, says Jeremy, due to a mower named Ferg. He's further in the distance now, and hopefully he won't come blazing past the house again anytime soon. Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Jessica. Greta Van Susteren. Yes, thanks. Yes, thank you. You were right. Cowbell for Jessica. I'm not sure if he's mowing or getting ready to take off in a fighter plane. Damn, that's loud. Sorry about that. But so the next question is, would he break the filibuster for it? Because all filibusters don't have to be broken. That, you know, Chinless Mitch proved that by saying we're going to break the filibuster just for Supreme Court nominees. Well, you break the filibuster just for voting rights laws? Well, I'll tell you what, if the Senate gets hold of just reality. If the Senate gets hold of the majority in the Senate and the House, they'll get rid of that lickety split. If they do anything. If the filibuster's done away with. That's not me defending the filibuster, that's just me pointing out what the future holds. But I find that to be a significant step forward. Stacey Abrams siding with Joe Manchin. Kind of wild. Meanwhile, Kyle, referring to what we talked about in the program yesterday, I didn't comment on this last night, but since contractors can just steal confidential ballots and personal info and to the middle of the woods in a different state, would anyone please explain how this country even resembles a democracy at this point? Because I'm shitting my pants over here. That's one of the most essential questions. As we've seen with these bullshit recounts by the cyber ninjas, I prefer to think of them as the cyber no nuts. What these maggots were reminded of during the election cycle is that the Supreme Court has in the past said that states are free to change their methods of presidential selection, presidential election, how they handle their ballots, and that means that S1 becomes all the more important. Oh, come on, Ferg. Well, his neuro-non-typicality is probably at work, and I'm not being critical. It's just that he doesn't think about the fact that his dear old dad has a radio show to do between 5 and 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Yeah. So we've got that to chew on. What the Supreme Court did today. In particular, well, they upheld Obamacare. They sent the Republican loop-de-loops packing. And for me, and for millions, tens of millions of others like me, namely people who get their insurance through the Obamacare exchange, the Affordable Care Act exchange, well, seeing it continue to, continue to breathe, to have life in it, means I continue to have medical care. And tens of millions of other Americans continue to have medical care. And that means, well, a ton. Unfortunately, yes, I know, Trey. Trey says it's not Obamacare. It's the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. Oh, come on, Ferg. This is worse than the kids next door with their two-stroke dirt bike in it. Which, oddly enough, sounds a lot like Marvin Martian's trumpet. Never mind. The SCOTUS's Obamacare decision, Darlene in Connecticut writes, was a punt, and maybe that's a blessing in the sense that they didn't overstep to embed something in the ruling to further weaken the ACA that wasn't part of the original case, you know, like what they did with Citizens United. They only ruled that there was no harm to the plaintiffs because Congress put the mandatory buy-in tax to zero. If Congress ever reverts to what the ACA originally had, then there will be another lawsuit and it will wind its way back up to SCOTUS again. So it might be a very cynical but effective strategy for Republicans to support reinstating the ACA Obamacare mandatory tax, and then there'll actually be a case in standing because there will then be supposed harm. Yeah, harm. I'm sorry, I'm just a little bit slowed now. Because I'm waiting to see if he's going to come back by the house, by the studio. So the bottom line is that... stand by. Yeah, I know it's getting old. I hate to be a douche, says Steve in New York, but it's getting really annoying. You're annoyed. You're not... You're hundreds of miles away. Jesus. And this is, you know, the funny thing is, this is a directional microphone. It's a super cardioid. Shouldn't be picking it up, but it's a really good super cardioid. Sorry, I came in late, Megan says. What's Ferg doing? Flying a drone? No, he's. I think it's a P-51 Mustang from like late 1944. Oh, God. I hate to interrupt the program, but I got to do something about this. Okay, so he's driving away now. Jesus, not... noises, Lee in New York says, all you need is for the cats to join in. I know. And it was funny, last night, my precious little 3-year-old granddaughter was laughing. Oh, she was laughing so hard. And that caused Jeremy to say, what, have you got a bird now? Because that was coming through. I got to work on the soundproofing of the studio. Maybe I'll save my egg cartons and put them and just staple them to the walls or something. I don't know. What's that, Lamar? White people phrases. Can you help me understand why would a white person use the phrase scared white as a sheet? Please explain. Since sheets are white, how could you tell? Well, because white people are really more pink. And there's a definite pall when all the blood drains out of one's face. That's easy enough handled. Back to the Supreme Court. It was a 7-2 decision. The decision upholding the Affordable Care Act, the Affordable Care and Patient Protection Act. There were two dissenters. There was one unanimous case today, and there were two, and then the Affordable Care Act case was 7-2. The two people who desperately wanted to overturn the case were, of course, Sammy Bad Breath Alito, the same guy who said it was okay to shoot a fleeing black kid in the back of the head, even though, you know, he posed no threat to cops, and Ann's boy Neil, who said, who once ruled, held in dissent, that black truck driver should freeze to death in his truck instead of going for help in the dead of winter in, like, Minnesota or something. Yeah, really bad cold. Bad. The majority opinion was fairly short, and they handled it on a largely procedural basis, as Darlene pointed out. And Sammy Bad Breath and Ann's boy Neil took twice as long to talk about how pissed they were, claiming the states have clearly shown that they suffer concrete and particularized financial injuries that are traceable to conduct of the federal government. The ACA saddles them with expensive and burdensome obligations, and those obligations are enforced by the federal government. This is sufficient to establish standing. It's because, you see, it failed on standing. Here's the hilarious part of that, though. That standing argument is an argument that Alito has opposed in the past when it was used for more by more, shall we say, more liberal parties. Right. Stephen Breyer wrote the majority opinion, and for the people who like to do the sort of soap opera-ish tea leaf reading that goes with Supreme Court watching, well, one wonders, reading this opinion, since they let Stephen Breyer write it, if it might not be his valedictory. Because everybody and their cousin now knows that Moscow Mitch has said that, oh, no way I'm going to let that Joe Biden appoint Supreme Court justices if the Republicans get the... So he's just said he's done. That the advice and consent clause of the Constitution in regard to Supreme Court nominees means that he, Mitch McConnell, if he's running the show, can make sure that no Democratic president ever gets another Supreme Court nominee. That's what he said. That's what the upshot of what Mitch McConnell said, and Joe Biden, President Biden, responded by saying, well, everybody knows who Mitch McConnell is. I would have liked it if he would have, if President Biden had said, you know, he just presented the strongest argument ever made for never letting the Republicans have control of the Senate again, ever, 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 ever. And so, consequently, Alito is pissed off, and Ann's boy Neil is pissed off too. He said, if Article 3 stand... no, I'm sorry, he's from New Jersey. If Article 3 standing required a showing that the plaintiff's alleged injury is traceable to, i.e. in some way caused by, an unconstitutional provision, then whenever a claim of unconstitutionality was ultimately held to lack legal merit, even after a full trial, the consequence would be that the court lacked jurisdiction to entertain the suit in the first place. Well, I mean, sort of, yeah. But that would be absurd, and this court has long resisted efforts to transform ordinary merits questions into threshold jurisdictional questions by jamming them into the standing inquiry. What it boils down to is Alito and Gorsuch wanted to kill Obamacare and take health care away from tens of millions of Americans by any means necessary. And, you know, kill people. I mean, it's kind of wild. Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas joined in. But what I was saying about Breyer a minute ago, people are, I don't want to use the Fox News style manual. There are people who are suggesting it would be a good idea if Justice Breyer were to retire, so that while the Senate is still nominally in the hands of the Democrats, we can get a filibuster-proof nominee through. And as I pointed out, what this means is that if Breyer were to retire, I really hate the way that rhymes, but if Breyer were to retire, then President Biden could appoint a replacement, you know, long term, hopefully, somebody about, you know, 12 and a half years old, some sort of the child genius who had just gotten through Harvard Law or something. Could appoint, with the advice and consent of Joe Manchin. Get that 50th vote. Send in Vice President Harris. Somebody was asking for the cats. Well, there's the cat. Caesar socks, please. But then you bring in Vice President Harris. She casts the 51st vote, and boom, done. And who knows? Maybe Lisa Murkowski or... Bishop Willard Romney, or noted Republican moderate Susan Collins, could step in and make
Vice President Harris unnecessary.
Yeah.
But no, they said that, and you know, my attorney general and the attorney general of Alabama and the attorney general of Texas, you know, the indicted felon, Ken Paxton, were on the losing end, and they took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and guess what? And this is where, you know, maybe we need to message better. I'd love to see billboards go up. Congratulations. You know, find out exactly how much it costs the state of West Virginia to attack the right of West Virginians to have health care, through the Affordable Care Act. Find out how much the legal bill is, and then put billboards up all over this state. Find out how much the legal bill is in Texas, et cetera, and put billboards up all over all the states where the Republican attorneys general frittered away the people's money and say, thank you, Attorney General Morrissey. You just cost the people of West Virginia X gazillion dollars that could have been used for things that actually mattered instead of taking away health care from West Virginians or Texans or fill in the blank. You think that might work? I mean, it's way too much information, but there should be a way to... There should be a way to at least make people aware of what was done to them. And, you know, where's... Hi, dear. It's been kind of hit or miss tonight, this afternoon. I know you were trying to get...
I tried.
Oh, I know. I know. At least we tried.
We tried.
Yeah, what does that mean? At least we tried.
It means I did not succeed.
Bay of Pigs. That refers to the Bay of Pigs. You were involved with the Bay of Pigs? Involved with it. It was my idea.
It was big.
Say hi.
Eagles. Hi, everybody.
So I got Ferg to go mow somewhere else.
Well, it's like running away the cat. You just throw some water on him and he'll go away.
Oh, now you're going to think people, you're going to make people think you're being mean to the cat.
No, I love them more than I do the children. So, I mean, what can I say?
God.
I know.
At least I ain't led no humdrum life. But wouldn't it, so it's true, with this stupid lawsuit, and I don't care how they dismissed it. They dismissed it. You lose. Go away, Ken Paxton. Go away, pill pushing Patty Morrissey. And you get the idea that there was some horse trading going on, because this isn't the only opinion. The Affordable Care Act is once again safe for a little while longer until they come up with some other cockamamie theory to try to keep the rubes engaged. California versus Texas. Held. Plaintiffs do not have standing to challenge Section 5000AA's minimum essential coverage provision because they have not shown a past or future injury fairly traceable to defendants' conduct enforcing the specific statutory provisions they attack as unconstitutional. The Constitution gives federal courts the power to adjudicate only genuine cases and controversies per Article 3, Section 2. To have standing, a plaintiff must allege personal injury fairly traceable to the defendant's allegedly unlawful conduct, etc., etc. And it turns on the requirement of mandatory coverage, which the Congress zeroed out. How about that? The Republicans fucked themselves. They grunted and they barked and they hooted about how, you know, that goddamn Obamacare forces it. They make Americans pay for health care whether they want it or not, and that's unconstitutional, and that's why George Washington fought the Battle of Bowling Green and the Battle of the Airports. And so they zeroed it out. and they took away their own standing. So I don't know what I don't know where they got the money for it, but it came out of some budget line item somewhere. What's that? News from Jeremy in Vermont. Honey, I told you. Lib Talker's partner encourages child and cat abuse with water throwing.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Earther says Republicans wanting to kill people by taking away people's insurance. Kill people sounds too harsh, Gorsuch. Can't we just call it generational recycling? See, it's great. Liberals love recycling. Ooh, that's cowbell. But I wonder if there wasn't some horse trading going on. You get 7-2 out of this one, and then lo and behold, and this one really sticks in, as someone who loves and cares about the idea of a government free from the influence of religion that the First Amendment promises to us, the 9-0 decision, and it always seems like we're on the losing end of these. So they saved using a procedural punt. You know, when you say that they don't have any standing, that means you don't have to get to the merits. And maybe it was easy, and it was easier to just get rid. And the Supreme Court will always do this. If they can get rid of it procedurally, they will do that. Standing, case and controversy, jurisdictional, anything to keep from hearing a case that they really didn't want to hear in the first place. And so, with that being the case, you get this 7-2 decision in California versus Texas. And, you know, isn't that just the perfect explanation for where we are in this country now? It's California standing up for decent American values versus still secessionist Texas trying to drag people back into misery, agony, death, servitude, poverty. Yeah. It's that way with school textbooks, the Affordable Care Act. So now, with this having been taken care of for the time being by the Supreme Court, maybe it's time for the House to take up some means of fixing the problem that was created when old Balls and Strikes dead-eyed John Roberts said that the Congress did not have the power to force the states to take free money in the form of the Medicaid expansion. And my theory all along has been that you can make them take the free money as long as there are no strings attached, and it's 100% funding from here on out, which is a form of universal single-payer health care. That kind of makes sense to me, because then the states can't say, well, they're encumbering our budgetary process. No, you got free money, dumbass. You don't even have to match 5% or 10%. You don't have to match a damn bit of it. And looking back, I wonder if maybe that was put in there just to see how the Supremes would respond. Was it bad drafting? I don't know. But there was some horse trading going on. We got the continued existence of the Affordable Care Act in exchange for a 9-0 unanimous decision that says that it's okay to discriminate against gay families who want to provide foster care to children in crisis. That just gagged my gut. 9-0. 9-0. God, I remember another 9-0 case. You remember when in Massachusetts, anti-abortion fetus fetish goons were assaulting women trying to go into a Planned Parenthood center, you know, to get a pap smear or a mammogram, but they got these gory pictures of precious aborted fetuses waved in their faces, and the Supreme Court said, yeah, that's cool. And they said it 9-0. And one of the 9-0 who said that was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I said back then, and I will reiterate today, there is no such thing as a liberal Supreme Court justice. Because when it comes right down to it, by the very definition of a judiciary, it's conservative. So you get conservative justices and ultra-conservative justices. There's no reformed justices in this scenario. So in Franklin versus Philadelphia, you get a Roman Catholic Church agency that said, it ain't fair. The city of Philadelphia says we can't shit on gay families for and refuse to let them give foster care to children that come through our system. It ain't fair. Philadelphia says we can't do that. Supreme Court, help. And the Supreme Court helped. And writing for the majority, the 9-0 majority, old dead-eyed Balls and Strikes John Roberts said,
the free exercise clause of the First Amendment applicable to the states under the 14th Amendment provides that Congress shall make no law prohibiting free exercise of religion.
He's reading it exactly bass-ackwards.
As an initial matter, it is plain that the city's actions have burdened CSS's religious exercise,
Catholic Social Services,
by putting it to the choice of curtailing its mission or approving relationships inconsistent with its beliefs.
Nobody ever mentions in these contexts whether it's ground-up tires for a Catholic school playground that the little secular non-religion industry schools got, but the church schools didn't. Or this case that turns on overt discrimination against people who are perfectly competent to provide love and care to children who desperately need it, that the government of the United States is not supposed to be supporting individual religions or any religions. And that's a fact. And there wasn't even one member of the Supreme Court who was willing to speak up for the separation of church and state in this country. Not one. And that pisses me right off. Because they endorsed religious bigotry. It's Hobby Lobby all over again. And I don't care how narrowly tailored they say this opinion is. Every time they say that some opinion that grants some gang of religious goons the right to discriminate against people, I don't care. Every time they say that, oh, it's narrowly tailored. It turns out not to be narrowly tailored. And so old dead-eyed Balls and Strikes John Roberts said that the non-discrimination policy enacted by the city of Philadelphia wasn't generally applicable because Philadelphia had the ability to grant exemptions from it. So they built the exemptions in to try to satisfy legal requirements of these goddamn little dainty, delicate snowflake religion industry goons. so it would pass some sort of muster. And then the fact that they did it wound up being their undoing.
No matter the level of deference we extend to the city, the inclusion of a formal system of entirely discretionary exceptions renders the contractual non-discrimination requirement not generally applicable.
And then this part just makes you want to run outside and eat dirt and run rabbits. Namely, that Philly had failed to show that there was a compelling interest on the part of the city in refusing to grant Catholic Social Services an exemption from the non-discrimination policy.
Once properly narrowed, the city's asserted interests are insufficient, wrote the guy who perjured himself in his confirmation hearing.
Oh, for fuck's sake. How did the city of Philadelphia not say there is a compelling interest on the part of the city that children in need of foster care be able to get that foster care regardless of the sexuality of the people who are willing to love them and care for them and provide them the homes that they desperately need? I mean, is that real? Because that's what's at stake here. You know, suffer the children to have a foster parent that will love them. But instead, you have to understand that the foster care system is a huge grift. Vast sums of money are paid by the federal government, by state governments, and by municipalities to put at-risk children into homes where, and as we saw with the two kids that fled from the Methodist Children's Home in Florida and went on a little mini crime spree, these are kids who badly need help. Badly. And for Catholic Social Services to be able to say, well, you know, I mean, you might be great parents or everything, but, you know, God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And so we'll place these children. And, oh, by the way, up in Canoodlia, they found another Catholic Church-run school with a bunch of children's bodies buried in it. Yeah, we don't care that that gay couple could really care for these. What if it's a little gay child? What if it's a little kid who said, "Mommy, Daddy, I'm gay." And they threw the child out of the house. The child's on the streets. The child is in desperate straits. And Catholic Social Services gets their hooks in them and sends them off to some godforsaken foster home where maybe some good God-fearing mackerel snapping whatever will sexually abuse them instead of placing the little gay kid in a nice gay home where they can be loved and cared for and told that it's okay and told that it gets better. What happens? Well, John Roberts doesn't give a fuck what happens because Catholic Social Services has a SAD. Because Catholic Social Services couldn't say that the well-being of that child was more important than the sexuality of the parents with whom the foster parents with whom they placed. Fuck! I'm pretty sure if you dug up and reanimated dead zombie John Adams and dead zombie James Madison and dead zombie Alexander Hamilton and dead zombie George Washington and dead zombie Thomas Jefferson, each and every one of them, regardless of their various and many flaws, would say, what? where did we say in the Constitution that it was okay for states and municipalities and the federal government to be giving money to religious organizations? Where did we say that? Because they affirmatively said it was not okay. God bless America. And then, because he has written somewhat positively for the LGBTQ community in the past, old dead-eyed John Roberts said,
"We do not doubt that this interest, the city's interest in the equal treatment of prospective foster parents and foster children, is a weighty one, for our society has come to the recognition that gay persons and gay couples cannot be treated as social outcasts or as inferior in dignity and worth."
And then he went on to say that it was okay if Catholic Social Services said that.
"On the facts of this case, however, this interest cannot justify denying CSS an exception for its religious exercise."
Really? Shitting on gay couples, gay foster parents, is a religious exercise. Understand that all the way down to the ground. It's the same as the goddamn dough pizza place in Indiana.
"Oh, that's part of their religious exercise to say that gay people can't have a birthday cake or a pizza party."
Now, to be fair, we must understand that the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Republicans were really hoping that John Roberts and the other five theocratic maniacs on the court would go ahead and wipe out a whole bunch of rights for gay people in the public sphere. There's a 1990 case, Employment Division versus Smith, and it serves to protect neutral and generally applicable laws that burden religion. And the precedent in that case lets some cities and states, etc., to forbid some forms of discrimination. But no. No. And so while it was a 9-0 decision in terms of the overall outcome, there were concurrences. Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, Sammy Bad Breath shoot the black kid in the back of the head at 30 yards, Alito, and Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch, who likes black truck drivers to freeze to death in the middle of winter. Well, they went along with the result, but they didn't sign on to the opinion. Slappy and Ann's boy Neil signed on to a dissent with Sammy Bad Breath, and they were angry that Employment Division versus Smith wasn't struck down in toto, allowing all manner of discrimination by religious goon shops against basically the gay community, the LGBTQQIA+ community. Oh, Alito was a pissed off kind of day for Sammy Bad Breath.
"This decision might as well be written on the dissolving paper sold in magic shops. The city's been adamant about pressuring CSS to give in, and if the city wants to get around today's decision, it can simply eliminate the never-used exemption power. Even if a rule serves no important purpose and has a devastating effect on religious freedom, the Constitution, according to Smith, provides no protection. this severe holding is ripe for reexamination, which means they'll be back again and again and again and again and again.
And Brett Kavanaugh and Stephen Breyer joined in a concurrence with Amy Covid Barrett, you know, Justice Handmaid. She said she was persuaded by the argument for overturning Employment Division versus Smith, but there would be a number of issues to work through if Smith were overruled. We need not wrestle with these questions in this case, though, because the same standard applies regardless whether Smith stays or goes. So at the end of the day, here's the question. You know, once you get past all the legal wrangling, how does an infant... Remember, a bunch of these people, oh, golly gee, they love them some fetuses. And we'll be hearing about that. But once the fetus has been born, how is that fetus, well, former fetus, how is that recently matriculated fetus supposed to choose, you know, after it turns out that that recently matriculated fetus has a really, really horrible mommy and daddy? Can't walk, can't crawl, can't even sit up. Can't do much more than suck at a bottle and then shit and piss. How is that baby supposed to figure out which social service agency it gets into so that it can make sure that it doesn't get put into the hands of some sick, perverted maniac from the Roman Catholic Church, or the Southern Baptist Convention, for that matter? You know, the Catholic Social Services wasn't saying, "Well, you know, we're only gonna place the babies with good Catholic families." No, we'll place these babies anywhere as long as, you know, they're not gay. How's that? And obviously, I've reduced this to the absurd because the baby can't make a choice. It reminds me of something that happened around here many years ago now. The addle-pated jackass who represents my district, my House of Delegates district here in the State House, is a religious goon by the name of Tom Fast. Who would, given a half a chance, make us all believe the way Tom Fast believes? And several years ago, there was a lesbian couple, and they were actually skilled in caring for at-risk newborns. And an agency placed such a newborn with the two women. And they went about caring for the child in a manner that was absolutely above and beyond reproach. They did a fantastic job. But Tom Fast threw a fit and raised him. This baby doesn't have any business being raised by a pair of lesbian abominations. And tormented those two women while they were literally saving the life of an infant. And refused to let up until the Supreme Court of the state of West Virginia finally told him to sit down and shut the fuck up. And we don't have that kind of a Supreme Court here in this state anymore. And probably never will again. And that's what you get. I mean, and that's the kind of behavior we're talking about. And not to put too fine a point on it, what happens when there's an adjudication and a court gives temporary care, custody, and control of a child to Catholic Social Services, and that child is lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, questioning, intersexed, or asexual? What happens then? What happens when Catholic Social Services gets its hooks in that child? We know what the suicide attempt rates are for children like that. What happens when they send that child to have counseling with Pastor Whackbottom or Father Fingerbang? One of those old sayings that you learn on the first day of law school says, hard cases make bad law. This wasn't that hard a case. But by God, they made bad law. And they left the door open to come for some sought-out plaintiff, some artificially ginned-up aggrieved asshole from one of these religion industry plaintiff shops to come in and say, oh, I'm being discriminated against because I hate queers. And this gang would probably sit there and pat the little freak on the head and say, there, honey, we're gonna make sure that your hatred gets preferential treatment over any sort of common humanity. This is revolting. But to return to my initial thesis, there is no such thing as a liberal Supreme Court justice. Sonia Sotomayor, not a peep. Elena Kagan, not a peep. Stephen Breyer, Stephen Breyer would be open to striking down Employment Division versus Smith. And that's the liberals, Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan. And when it came time to check out a little bit of their liberalism, see you later, Jesus! And I find that deeply disturbing. And I know President Biden is a devout Roman Catholic. And how devout he is open to question, but Joe Manchin is a Roman Catholic. So I guess even if Stephen Breyer were to step down, you know, the Constitution says there shall be no religious test for holding office. But you know there is one. Really, really, there is one. And that religious test for holding office is to make sure that you are some kind of a Christian or possibly a Jew. No Muslims need apply. I would say we will probably have a Hindu member of the Supreme Court before we will have a Muslim member of the Supreme Court. And we will have either one of those before any justice gets onto the court, having said, Senator, I refuse to answer any questions about my religious faith or lack thereof. Because that nominee would, A, never get nominated.
We can't have people on the Supreme Court don't believe in God.
And even if nominated, would never survive the confirmation process, because even though the Constitution says there shall be no test for religious for holding, there should be no religious test for holding office. That's in print, but not in effect. Ooh, nice idea. Earther says, ooh, t-shirt idea. John Roberts doesn't care, do you? Yes, impeach Roberts. I've got a list. Before we get around to impeaching Roberts, I really want to impeach Slappy Thomas and Brat and Amy COVID Barrett and Ann's boy Neil. You know, you can't even ask questions because they're such snowflakes. You know, the maggots put snowflakes into the lexicon. So by God, it's there. I'm going to use it. They're such delicate, dainty little snowflakes that you cannot even challenge the idea that we can't have a bunch of, that we should have one non-theist on the bench. I mean, maybe there's a closeted atheist somewhere out there on the federal bench. If there is, I haven't heard of her or him. But we need them. We badly need them. Because this would have been easy. If you felt absolutely that. The reasoning was right and that Philadelphia fucked up, you should still be able to write a concurrence, concur in part, dissent in part. You could say, I concur in the result, but I dissent insofar as I don't think any governmental entity needs to be giving any money whatsoever to any religious organization, no matter the faith system. I don't care if it's Catholic or Protestant, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, the ancient religion of Huitzilopochtli or Xipe Totec, I don't care. The framers made it abundantly clear that government was not to have anything to do with religion, and religion was not to have anything to do with government. But the assault is ongoing, and the assault is not going to end. And remember what our offertory hymn on prayer meeting Wednesday says, and it's all tax free. Hallelujah. Catholic social services, and lo and behold, we had the story about how the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops wants to start that same old sorry horse shit about Joe Biden can't take no communion, and neither can Kamala Harris because she ain't Catholic anyway. Makes me think of that old Andy Griffith ad for Ritz crackers. You know, show footage of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. They can't have, Joe Biden can't have no magic cracker. And then cut to the clip of Andy Griffith from the old commercial munching on a Ritz and saying, good cracker, good cracker. God. Oh, by the way, because the goddess of irony is a good goddess. Employment Division versus Smith that said it's okay for municipalities and states to have reasonable regulations regarding non-discrimination. Yeah, you know, that opinion was written by fat dead Tony Scalia. Opus Dei, fat dead Tony Scalia. And they're coming after that too, because now fat dead Tony Scalia isn't conservative enough for this latest round of religious maniacs. Damn. Really sucks. Oh, what's that? David in South Carolina, Stan? The Supreme Court also stayed some executions. because the Supreme Court stayed all the executions planned by South Carolina until the state's Department of Corrections. Jesus Christ. Mind-blowing. This is from the state. It's the newspaper of record of South Carolina. Listen to this it's the opening sentence, the opening paragraph. And it's not the United States Supreme Court. I'm sorry. It's the South Carolina State Supreme Court. Just get the hockey puck and listen to this. South Carolina Governor Henry McMaster, you know, McGovernor, decried the state Supreme Court's decision to stay all upcoming executions in the state until South Carolina's Department of Corrections could offer a firing squad as a method of execution. They're about to have their first execution in 10 years, South Carolina is. Oh, goodness me, I'm sure people are terribly excited down there. McGovernor said, I think the law has been passed and it is sound. I know the families involved here. The victims need justice and closure. We intended for this law to accomplish that. And because, you know, all the problems of hunger and homelessness, and they've all been solved in South Carolina. So the South Carolina legislature had some extra time on its hands and you know, probably done screwed with all the trans kids and everything. So they got around to passing a brand new law last month, May, so that the State Department of Corrections could execute people by shooting them. I wonder if they want to let them run a little bit first. Might be a little bit more fun that way. Because, you see, South Carolina's been having a hard time getting the necessary pharmaceuticals with which to carry out horizontal crucifixions. And they haven't been able to do any horizontal crucifixions since then. And three inmates have gotten stays of execution. So the South Carolina legislature responded. Said, all right, well, we will, okay, then we're going to make the electric chair the means of execution. But we're going to let inmates opt to be killed by being shot to death instead. And it's their choice. My body, my choice, said the Republicans. God damn it. The electric chair. You know what? I should probably not complain. Because those noble souls in the South Carolina legislature didn't bring back head lopping. No, that sounds a little too Muslim right now. I mean, if it wasn't, it sounds a little too Saudi to us. We wouldn't want people to think we was using Sharia law to execute people that was probably convicted while their appointed lawyer was sound asleep. God damn, David. I know I shouldn't say anything, but my God, it's got to be an everyday kind of thing. Just keeping up with the stupidity down there. Oh, and by the way, David also let me know. One of the original cast members from one of my favorite TV shows has passed away. Frank Bonner. The guy who played Herb Tarlick, the sales manager at WKRP, passed away at 79 yesterday. He suffered from something called Lewy body dementia, and talk about something that doesn't receive enough well, there's no... It's worth reading up on. There are these things inside us called Lewy bodies. L-E-W-Y-B-O-D-Y. Lewy bodies. And when Lewy body dementia sets in, a terrible process of dying begins. And that's what got Frank Bonner. Ted Turner, my old boss, also suffers from Lewy body dementia. So, sympathies to the family of Frank Bonner. God, he was great as Herb Tarlick. He absolutely captured the nature. Anybody who's ever worked in radio saw Herb Tarlick's characters. How did they know this? How did they know the sales manager where I worked? Because they seem to be all cut from the same cloth. Well, ordinarily this would be the halfway point of the program, but it's the point of the program where I actually take my leave this evening. I don't want to, but I have to. I said earlier that I was going to try to walk the walk as well as talk the talk. Well, part of that was Monday, and part of that is this evening. Once a month, I have to take in a meeting on a Thursday, and this is that Thursday. So back tomorrow for Friday on the front porch. I'm taking in a meeting of my county's Democratic Executive Committee, of which I am its first ever trans member. And I will, I'm trying to do a little bit of giving back. So, it's not going to take a lot of my time, but this is my first meeting, and I can't miss it. So I'll thank you all, and thank you, Jeremy, for meeting Joey and Giraffe's challenge. We will get back to the ordinary course of business tomorrow, creeps each day in its petty pace, et cetera, and whatever the rest follows that. Hopefully... we'll have a rousing conversation to wrap up the week tomorrow. Let's see. So we got down to $489 and... Oh, what was it? I better look, because we got loose change running around here. Yeah, $489.98. So tomorrow will be $789.98. That's confusing. $789.98 for tomorrow. And thanks to all of you who keep this program on the air through your kind subscriptions, Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you, Sparky, in the chat room. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Don't miss it. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is right here at HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please get your vaccine if you haven't already. In the meantime, continue to follow your safety protocols. Wear your mask as appropriate. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer regularly and liberally. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes toward you saying, well, we don't have to electrocute them. They can choose to have their brains blown out. Avoid that person like the plague. Because I guarantee it, him being the governor of South Carolina, he is. Later.